Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Congratulations are in order. The Edmonton Oil Kings today were named for the WHL Business Award for the 23-24 season. We talked to their Director of Business Operations at this time on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, Kevin Radomski. Kevin, how you doing?
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
Good. Gary Bettman thought you won the award last year, too, just so you know.
We were a nominee.
So here's what happened. One of the regulars that we have on the show has a good relationship with Gary. And I passed along to him that in your final, I think it was your final either 8 or 10 home games, you averaged 10,784 fans per game. And I said, this is for a rebuilding Oil Kings team that was in last place at Christmas. And just remember that when you're sitting there dying on the vine down in Arizona playing at Mullet Arena, that, you know, the Oil Kings outdrew you. So it was pretty interesting. How much of this is, you know, you guys had great attendance this year? Obviously, we've got awesome hockey fans in the market. And how much of this is a reflection on the overall Oil Kings as a whole, not just the unit that you oversee?
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly it. It's not one thing. It's a whole bunch of things that add together. So for this award, it's the second time we've won it since we returned to the WHL in 2007. To say that we're honored would be an understatement, because what it does is it really helps underpin all the great work that's done on, you know, how affordable our tickets are, the great value that people get. But yeah, it's more than just the attendance. They actually have a metric and a rubric where it's about the ticket sales, it's about the innovations to business, supporting the community, and then leading the digital marketing side. And with all of those, we were a finalist last year. We weren't successful. And this year we were a finalist again, and I'd love to say the WHL got it right this year, but what it does, though, is it really is a credit to our fans who come night in and night out, 34 games. To your point, Bob, we played 34 games at Rogers Place with an attendance of over 251,000 guests. And
what is that, over 6,000 fans per game?
Over 7,400 over the 34 average.
7,400 per game.
Yeah. For junior hockey in an NHL market, the next closest competitor when it comes to ticket sales was actually the Everett Silvertips. And in the Upper Northwest, they do a great job.
Is Zoran Ratchet still in Everett?
You bet, and doing a great job.
He used to, so I'm going to date myself. You were probably in elementary, but he used to work for the University of Lethbridge. I think that was one of his first jobs when I was doing the Golden Bear play-by-play, and I'm like, this guy's pretty good. Like, he can tell, and he ended up going to work. The guy that owns Everett, Bill Yule, is from Medicine Hat. And so they've done a really good job for a number of years in Everett, haven't they?
No question. And the one thing that people, I don't know if they know behind the scenes, but all of us teams, we all get along. We're all cheering for each other. We all share, hey, I tried this, it worked. Because a strong WHL is good for everybody. And we're very, very blessed to be able to play in Rogers Place. We're very, very blessed to be able to bring a tremendous entertainment value. You know, with seats starting at $20, that is not typical that you get to see a marvelous building like Rogers Place for an extremely attractive price like $20. But it's all because the families are what we cater to. And families have a great time at the Oil Kings. And to win an award like this, like, our attendance puts us number 4 in the entire CHL for attendance.
Yeah. And would London be number 1?
London, actually, Quebec Ramparts were number 1. London Knights, number 2. Halifax Moosehead, number 3.
And what do those three teams not have that Edmonton has?
what Edmonton is lucky to have. Yes. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a big part of it is you're playing in an NHL market. Now you have a state-of-the-art building, but those other three cities are the only team. How would Calgary and Ottawa conversely draw as an example, Kevin?
Well, I can tell you that with Calgary, definitely they do very well down there. Their attendance is lower than ours, but they do a great job with all of the teams that run through that building. But like for comparison, our number of 252, the next closest team in Canada, so taking out the teams in the upper Northwest in the USA, was actually the Saskatoon Blades at 176,000. So there was a sizable gap in Canada. And again, it's a real shot in the arm for all of the men and women that work tirelessly every night to give a great game experience night in and night out at Rogers Place.
I know that like some of the things that have worked for you guys. How many special theme nights do you have a year in junior?
So usually we have 34 game nights, and usually we try and have about 20 to 25 theme nights. Yeah. And like last year, we had an afternoon with Elvis. We actually brought a performer up, and he looked good. There's all kinds of Elvises out there, Elvi, if you will. Yeah. There's the elder statesman Elvis. There's skinny Elvis. There's chubby Elvis. There was even a Mexican Elvis. But we got a guy that looked spot on. We had live professional wrestling this year for the first time. And we did four theme jerseys. We did one that was SpongeBob SquarePants. We did a camouflage jersey. We did, our teddy bear toss jersey. And the other jersey we did was actually designed by one of our fans. And all in, all of our raffles, all of our silent auctions, benefit causes and charities right here at Edmonton, we raised over $100,000 for these causes and charities while having a ton of fun on the ice.
All right. Great stuff, Kevin. And you're going to have a better team next year.
There's no question.
Right? Like your team is going to, I mean, it was year two of a rebuild after, you know, three really good seasons in the row. The problem was there was no fans for two of them.
Yeah.
But you did end up in the Memorial Cup in 2022, and obviously there's a price to pay when that happens. A 10-win season 2 years ago, you guys finished really good in the back half of this year, and I know there's a lot of excitement under Kurt's team. Thank you, and congratulations again for winning the WHL Business Award.
Thanks for the great support, Bob. Can't wait to see you back at the rink.
All right, that's Kevin Radomski, Business Director for the Edmonton Oil Kings. It's 6:41 in Edmonton. Reed Wilkins, Brendan Escott coming up. We got a frustrating day this day in Oilers history. We'll get to that. We'll talk a little about the Oilers series against the Kings as well. Let's get right to it. It's this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. Explore Southeast Asia on a chartered river cruise next March. Reach out to newwesttravel.com. And we're going to cue you up, and you're going to turn that one on, and we're going to go straight to the audio. Here we go.
Everybody's in a state of shock right now in the Calgary bench. They couldn't believe it. Now there's the...
You know, I just look back at it and say, you know, to myself, made me a stronger person. It made me deal with humility in a way that I never had in the past. And it made me become a person that cheers for people, that cheers for things to go well. And I have high expectations in watching sports now or high hopes for people to do well in every situation.
I can tell you that was just about as devastated a dressing room as I had ever seen to that point in the Oilers' history. I mean, they just couldn't believe that the Flames had beaten them because the Oilers had really, you know, the Oilers were the team to beat. There was no question about that. And Bob Johnson had said prior to that, he said if Calgary was going to do anything, they had to have a good enough team to beat the Oilers, and they wound up winning the series. And it was a tough one. It was hard to swallow, particularly the way it happened. I mean, you know, it was such a tough play for Steve.
Go ahead, Brendan. You want to jump in here?
Yeah. I mean, 1986, it was, of course, the infamous own goal when Steve Smith put the puck past Grant Fuhr late in the third period. Goal proved to be the difference, although they talked a lot in those interviews about the ability to win the game in overtime. They didn't get it done.
Yeah. Difference 3-2 win for Calgary in Game 7. Flames won four games in that series. They maybe didn't deserve to win Game 7, but they got the jump on Edmonton multiple times. Edmonton was constantly playing catch-up in that series. It's the only time the Oilers have ever lost to Calgary as well. We should remember that. Edmonton beat them in 83 and 84, swept them in 88, got them in 91, and broke them 2 years ago. They've never been the same since, the Calgary Flames. I mean, let's face it. Do you remember, Reed, how old, where were you? Were you out in Wedgewood, Wildwood?
Yeah, none of the above there, Bob. Evansburg.
Evansburg.
I remember watching the game on television.
How far, Entwistle, Evansburg, how far is that from Wedgewood or Wildwood or whatever?
Oh, Wildwood's about another, I don't know, 15K west of Evansburg.
You see, you're busting me for not knowing that Evansburg and Wild. I mean, I should get extra points for knowing where Wildwood is, shouldn't I?
Well, you call it Wedgewood.
Okay. I'm having fun with you.
Which is
the Stars' backup goaltender.
Scott Wedgewood is a goaltender.
Yeah, okay, good for you.
No, but yes, I watched the game on TV.
That was heartbreaking.
It was shocking.
And I was like a cocky 20-year-old guy. I couldn't believe that had happened to the Oilers. And but you know what? They did beat Calgary every time since then. So there was that.
Calgary played a great series, though.
Did it?
And I just checked. They actually outshot the Oilers in Game 7, 24-21.
Yeah, they didn't. There was still 10 minutes left in the game. Like, the Flames just shut it down.
There was 14:46 left in the game. Yeah, I didn't realize it was that early either. I'm just checking the summary.
Yeah. Well, you never really lose. Just sometimes the clock runs out on you, I guess. All right, let's get to it. Oilers in L.A., what's your expectations for tomorrow night?
I expect an extremely energetic and focused Oilers team. Yeah. I really expect them to play an awesome first period, quite frankly.
Did they dodge a bullet, or was that just a mature performance on the road?
Well, both. Yeah. I mean, they were minus 20 in shots, so you should lose.
Yeah.
But maturity and poise and goaltending helps you win games where you get outplayed sometimes, and they showed all of those things.
I got to ask you, we got Brendan Escott here as well, so you're, you know, BC kid. How in the heck are the Canucks up in this series 3-1 against UC Saros?
Yeah, it's like grinding, right? It's not at all to do with
Miller's the one guy that's kind of... Hughes doesn't look right, by the way.
No, Frank and I were discussing that yesterday. He looks like he's battling something. And hey, he is the exact type of player who you want to pummel into oblivion in the playoffs, and that's what Nashville's done. So maybe he's just...
I think folding. Nashville wins tonight. I picked Vancouver to win the series. I still think they will win the series, but I think that's the series that gets extended tonight. I mean, really? The Leafs are losing. They will lose, trust me. Islanders, of course, we know we're going to lose.
That's just the kiss of death, right?
No, it's not.
You know Boston's
going to
lose the game.
Oh, come on. Panthers in seven, baby.
Panthers in seven? Did you call the Panthers last year?
We didn't.
He doesn't even remember.
Like, all the way through.
I picked the Panthers in every round last year, including over Boston. And Brent and I did picks. I picked Panthers in four over the Lightning and almost got it.
You almost got it.
Almost got it. Yep. There's no way. Who picked Tampa in that series? Like, come on. They are on the downslide.
I picked Tampa. I thought Tampa would win that series.
Okay.
They were pretty good down the stretch. Now, Sergachev got back during the series. It's quite apparent their lack of depth. Can Edmonton beat Florida if they play Florida?
Yes, Edmonton can beat anybody.
Edmonton can beat anybody.
Yes, I'm not saying they'd be favored against anybody, but they can beat anybody.
Do you think they can beat anybody? Nice hat, by the way.
Thanks. This is a team that I think has a little bit more challenges depth-wise than Florida would, I would suggest, but the high-end talent is unmatched around the NHL. So.
Yeah, and they got a pretty good power play, too. All right, that was this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. Reed Wilkins, what do you have coming up on Inside Sports?
I have a one-on-one chat with Dylan Holloway. I have some audio from Oilers practice today. I believe Dave's going to hop on just to update what the Elks are doing.
Did they not make their pick?
They took Joel DeBlanco, which was expected, the linebacker out of Cincinnati.
So explain this. This guy's already played pro?
He played, he was with the Seahawks for preseason.
And then spent last year in the USFL with Philadelphia.
So how can he be in the Canadian college draft if he's already...
Bob. Because those are the rules. Like, there's no rules against it.
Yeah.
Right?
He's already played pro, though. That yes. seems a little odd.
How can the CFL just have negotiation lists with players that they just claim are theirs that are American? I mean, that's how the league operates.
Yeah, there you have
it. It's a bit of a renegade league, let's be honest.
All right.
And Ben Kreike's on the show, who played 5 years of NCAA basketball. He's from Edmonton. He signed with the Stingers today.
Where did he play?
He finished with Iowa, and he was with Valpo before that. Huh, we've had him on the show before because he played NCAA tournaments.
Did Iowa have like a really good women's player?
Yes.
Like the best ever, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And there we go. All right. What do we got shaking tomorrow, Brendan? Do we know yet?
Well, Elliot, for sure. You working on any alumni or anything
well,
like that?
We'll see.
Pre-game?
We'll see. Yeah, we're trying to coordinate between two different. There'll be. Okay. Reed'll have an alumni
yeah,
person.
We'll stuff somebody.
I'll have for my Puckadoo. Is that how it's pronounced?
Oh, Puckadoku. No, Puckadoku.
Puckadoku. Yeah, my Puckadoo. Puckadoku.
Did you do it today?
Well, no, but one of the guys that I'm going to end up getting, if you ever need the Islanders in Tampa, this guy gets you as low.
Oh, I know who it is, yeah.
As low a score as possible.
Can we say it?
Yeah, Ian Herbert.
That's Ian.
Ian Herbert says you'll get a 0 or 0.1 every time, which yeah. is, you want that
it's
low.
It's fun. Yeah. If people haven't played this, it's super fun. Bob's excellent at it because he remembers everything.
I don't remember everything.
Well,
I
you've done pretty well. Bob and I sometimes do it together. I usually might get one or two squares, but you can't go too current unless one guy who's good for getting a low score, because I've suggested him, who is the Oiler who was like the nicest guy ever. Brad Hunt. Because he played like for 7 teams, so he's a good one.
Yeah.
Jeff, you better bring the music in. They're going to talk forever. Right.
Mikhail Shtolenkov's a good one if you need an Oiler and something else.
There you go. Reed Wilkins coming up with Inside Sports. Special thanks to Jeff Walker and Brendan Escott. Have a terrific Tuesday. We'll be live at Ford Hall tomorrow for Contract Equipment Unlimited. And a reminder, the Horses and Horse Racing Alberta Live Racing returns Saturday, May 4th at Century Mile. Of course, we'll have Frank Cervalli coming up on Friday's show. Reed Wilkins up next after a Global News weather traffic update with Zach Ferguson.